Welcome to this episode of the ASHA Podcast. I'm Fred Wyant with the American Sexual Health Association, ASHA. Our topic today is HPV, the human papillomavirus, and anal cancer. And HPV is really key to this discussion because anal cancers are one of several that are associated with high-risk types of the virus. The American Cancer Society estimates there are a little under 9,800 cases each year in the U.S., but those numbers are increasing, so it's something we need to talk about. And not to give short shrift to HPV, if you're not familiar with the human papillomavirus, don't worry. I will put a link in the show notes that goes to our HPV 101 page. HPV is a virus, skin virus, that's linked with, there are many, many types, and some of them are linked with primarily anal and genital skin and some gynecologic and anal cancers, among some other cancers. But if you need to brush up on that, we've got you covered. And to help us better understand anal cancer, and really, there's so much associated with it, we have a really special guest today, Lillian Krippel. She's the co-founder and executive director of the HPV Cancers Alliance. Lillian, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for taking time to hang out with us.
Thank you, Fred. I'm really honored, and I'm really excited to be here, and I'm hoping to contribute and help people and in the end, save lives.
Well, that's what it's all about. And I read in your bio that you refer to yourself as a quote, anal cancer thriver. So let's begin with that. Your story, just tell us about your diagnosis.
Sure. So when I was in my 20s, I was diagnosed with HPV. I knew I had it. And then I would get checked with the GYN. You follow up with a colposcopy, and then which is a more in-depth test where they look at your cells, and then you follow up again. And if it's cleared a couple months later, you're good to go. And then, you know, you do your yearly exam. So I knew I had it, but, you know, I had no issues. There's no surveillance after that. So fast forward to about 30 years later, which was about six summers ago, I experienced some blood from the back end, not a lot, but it was consistent. And I went to see my GYN, and who I'd been with for many years, and she did the vaginal pap, and that was fine. And then she said that it was nothing. And I said, I don't think so. And by the way, she did do a rectal exam, and they're all supposed to do that. The GYNs are all supposed to do a rectal exam with their finger. And if they don't, you should go to somebody else. Don't even try to convince your doctor to do it, because they should be doing it. That's part of the pelvic exam. Mine did do it and didn't catch it. I ended up going to my gastroenterologist. He gave me a sigmoidoscopy, which is like a colonoscopy, but it just looks at the anal canal. And then sure enough, stage two. So, and then, you know, after that, I went on a whole journey of 6 weeks of intense chemo and radiation here in New York City at a well-known hospital. I was not familiar with cancer. I never even got the flu. So it was a real eye-opener. But the reason I refer to myself as a thriver was that I realized that so many people that get this disease, that first of all, when they get cancer, then a lot of people don't want to talk about it. And then people that get an HPV-related cancer, forget about it. And anal cancer, no way. So I have encountered many people along the way that don't want to talk about it. But for me, I wanted to know what is this? What, you know, why did I get it? How did I have it? And so I leaned in, and I learned that, you know, Farrah Fawcett, the actress, died of it. And really what struck me was how many people and the medical societies do not have HPV on their radar. And this is resulting in cancers, you know. HPV causes 6 cancers, and nobody should ever die from an HPV diagnosis. So what I decided to do was, when I say thrive, I turned it into a positive.
There you go. So let me ask you for some practical advice that newly diagnosed patients might use to make their path a little easier. And we'll just start at the point of diagnosis. I mean, are most newly diagnosed anal cancer patients, are they shocked? Do they have an inkling of what to expect? I mean, what do you think what are you hearing from people?
So, Fred, that's a great question. I speak to patients every day. Just right before we got on this podcast, I had somebody that was referred to me who just was diagnosed with anal cancer. For some reason, anal cancer is affecting women, white women, in their mid, late 50s, early 60s. And then oropharyngeal, a lot of men are getting this. But to answer your question, everyone is shocked because most people have never even heard of it. Why can't you get cancer back there? You can get cancer in your ear. You can get cancer in your kneecap. Why not? So yes, most people are shocked. They have no clue what to do. They're scared. I have to say that with me, when the doctor turned around and said to me, "Hey, it's not the best news. You know, you have cancer." And then he said, "But it's treatable." That's all I heard. I didn't hear cancer. I didn't hear anything but treatable. And I was super positive. And so I think, yes, most anal cancer patients are shocked. They're ashamed. They think, oh, I don't want to tell anybody. What did I do to get this? And, it's nothing to do with that. You don't have to do anything. It's a skin to skin virus that pretty much everybody has,
That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, people don't realize it, but, we refer to HPV as the common cold of sex. Basically, if somebody has had sex, they probably have or have had or they will have HPV. I mean, like 75-80% of all sexually active people have at least one HPV infection in their lifetimes. And some of our advisors say they would actually put those numbers even a little bit higher. All right. So you mentioned the first interaction with your doctor and all you heard was it's treatable. So that's great that you got that. So
yes.
That you could just hang on to that right from the start.
Yes. So
let me ask you about the interaction with the healthcare team. So what questions should an anal cancer patient really be asking of their healthcare team?
So that's a really good question. And I'll tell you why. These days, as with me, you really have, as a patient, as a person, you really need to be aware and you need to advocate for yourself, because unfortunately, this is a rare cancer, although on the rise. And I can tell you that when I speak to people in rural areas and not in major cities like I am in New York City, that a lot of the medical teams they're not familiar with this type of cancer. And, nor are the people that work at the hospital as far as any information about it. They may have had one patient or two patients with this type of cancer. So that's why the patient really needs to be armed and do some research. So the kind of questions, let's go back to even before they get diagnosed with anal cancer. Ladies, when you're going to your gynecologist, you need to make sure that you are getting a co-test. The co-test is the HPV test. You should know if you have HPV or not. I've been to a gynecologist that did the test and never told me she did it. And I said, "Hey, did you do that HPV test?" And she said, "Yes, I do it on everybody, but I don't tell them because I don't want to alarm them." So number one, make sure you're getting that test and, to know if you have it. Don't be alarmed if you think you've never had it and then it comes up. Don't jump to the conclusion that your husband or your boyfriend is cheating. You've probably had it all your life and it just didn't show up. Now, if you do get diagnosed with anal cancer, the kind of questions that I would ask would be, actually, even before you get diagnosed with anal cancer, if you ever have any abnormal or some bleeding, or actually it comes in the form of like it's a hemorrhoid, and a lot of doctors mistake it for a hemorrhoid. So if you have, and you're familiar with hemorrhoids, don't just cast it off and say, "Oh yeah, it's probably a hemorrhoid." Make sure you get it checked out. And sometimes there are no symptoms. So just make sure that you go for your exams and pay attention to yourself. And if a doctor dismisses you, go to somebody else. Now, if you do have anal cancer, the kind of questions that you should be asking are, you know, what am I allowed to eat, not eat? There's certain things you can't eat because it makes you go to the bathroom, and you don't want to go to the bathroom that much because it's very painful. You should be asking if the treatment is going to be oral chemo, or you're going to get chemo, infused chemo. I myself had the pill, the chemo pill. You should find out about getting painkillers in advance, nausea medication in advance. I never got nauseous once, but I definitely was in pain and I needed those painkillers. You should also find out about during, this is very, very important, during your treatment, you should absolutely be using a dilator, and that is to keep the organs intact. And I can tell you that MD Anderson Major Cancer Hospital and Sloan Kettering and a few other major hospitals use the dilator, but there's a lot of hospitals and doctors that don't even know about it. And you need to have that, because that protects and keeps your organs intact. The other thing you need to know is when you're finished with treatment, you should have a follow-up plan. And the follow-up plan includes pelvic floor therapy after you're more healed. And a lot of the hospitals don't even talk about that. You know, you're done with your treatment and it's like, bye. No, you need to know that pelvic floor therapy is part of a follow-up for this type of treatment, because there's a lot of scarring from radiation. And you know, luckily I'm fine, but there are anal cancer patients that they can't make it to the bathroom in time. They have had to go on disability because they need a bathroom right next to them. And so just, you know, make sure that you're aware of all this. And also in addition to my organization, HPV Cancers Alliance, there's also the Anal Cancer Foundation, and that's a great organization for resources.
You touched on co-testing. And so I'm assuming what you're talking about, there's like an HPV Pap co-test for that's part of cervical cancer screening. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very
yes.
good. Yes. Yeah, because we really don't have widely recommended anal cancer screening for the general population, right? Nothing like
no.
with what we have for cervical cancer.
No, because there's my GYN did do the digital rectal exam, but they're not all doing it. And in speaking with a CEO of a major medical organization who had no, and a woman who had no clue about rectal exams, it's pretty alarming and it's scary to me.
You mentioned that you had chemo and radiation as part of your treatment. So what do people need to know to prepare themselves for the treatment, but really also to manage the side effects? Unfortunately, you didn't have a lot, it sounds like.
Yeah. So, you know, when I talk to patients, I hear about all different types of side effects. Like my side effects, like my fingernails, some of them turn black. I know some people that they get lymphedema, or their skin kind of falls off in the back area. I didn't have really much. I didn't get nauseous, but I had pain. And I know somebody that didn't have any pain, but she was nauseous. So, you know, there's a whole gamut of possibilities for side effects. But I'll tell you one thing. When I was going through everything, I spoke to somebody who had, she had radiation for breast cancer. And she gave me a great tip. And she said, you should be getting an aloe plant, an actual aloe, a real aloe plant, not something you buy in the drugstore. And then you put it in the freezer and make sure it's cold. And then you can use that, like the leaf itself, you can like kind of open it up and then like put it back there to cool you off. And that was really helpful, because aloe is healing. And, you know, an MD is not going to tell you that. They're not going to come up with like an aloe solution or tell you to use aloe. Right. And that was really, really, really helpful.
So let me ask you about partners and caregivers, loved ones, how to engage with them. This is, yes, like you said, it's not an easy thing to talk about. So what about a spouse or somebody who's helping to take care of the patient? What do they need to know? How do we need to talk with them?
So that's a great question. Actually, we did a webinar called How to Talk to Your Loved Ones About an HPV Diagnosis and How to Talk to Your Loved Ones About an HPV Cancer, that you have HPV cancer. And we have that downloaded on our website. I think the first thing is me, I normalized it. I think some other people, most people are shocked because they've never heard of it. And then, then there's this like whole stigma thing, and a lot of patients are not saying what it is. They're saying it's colon cancer, they're saying it's this, that, instead of saying what it really is. I think the way we can engage partners and caregivers are they need you need to be honest. And some of the things that I needed were like, emotional support. A lot of my friends came with me to the hospital. Maybe some food shopping here and there, maybe, sending out my laundry. But as far as, engaging the, they should be, they shouldn't be judgmental. They should recognize that this is like, they probably have HPV too. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, your immune system is down and you can get this cancer later in life. And nobody should be shamed, and they should just be supportive. And to recognize that it's not a death sentence. And you can probably be okay, if you follow the course that your doctor gives you. And I'll tell you something, Fred. I have somebody who said to me, "Oh, well, I think I'm just going to go to the drugstore and like just, get some healthy juices and stuff."
Right.
And I said, "Listen, you can do that all you want. Do it after you get the treatment." So it's difficult with some people.
You mentioned something a little earlier about the nature of HPV infections. Not only are they common, virtually everybody has them, even though most people never know about it. But you said, keep in mind that this doesn't mean that your partner has run out and cheated on you. This could be something that could go back months, years, before it's actually any sign of it comes up or before it's detected. So I think that is a really, really good point. The other thing too is sometimes partners will understandably worry about themselves. If their part, if when the patient's diagnosed, but the partner's like, "Well, what does this mean for me? Do I have HPV? Am I going to have a problem?" We talk to those partners, not infrequently. And so this my point here is this may be a good time to just talk about the fact that HPV is incredibly common, but most cases are cleared naturally by the immune system, even with the so-called high-risk types that we link with cancer. Most of them aren't terribly dangerous. And those infections, typically, we have them, they come and go. We never know that they were there. We never have a single positive screening test. I mean, most people just are blissfully unaware, and the body takes care of it in due course. So, I think that gets back to what you're talking about. Just keep perspective. It does, not getting alarmist about it. But we do get a lot of people who wonder, what does this mean for me if my partner has it? And in most cases, not a lot, but it's good to get talk about it, but you have to talk about it, right? And
Right.
like you said, and my next question, I was going to dive a little bit into the stigma, and you actually did a great job of sort of anticipating and answering some of the things I was going to talk about. How do people deal with the stigma? Because yeah, anytime you're dealing with something, quote, down there, especially when HPV is involved. And I love what you said that sometimes the anal cancer patients, they'll call it colon cancer because that's just easier, to
Yeah.
talk about.
Yeah.
And I'd never thought about that, but that makes perfect sense, that someone would do that.
Yeah. So I think so a couple of things. So first of all, Justine from the Anal Cancer Foundation, her mother died of anal cancer. Her mom was healthy. She was diagnosed with HPV in her 20s, and she got the cells burned off. So a common misconception is when women think that, oh, they got the cells burned off, or they had it ablated, whatever you want to call it, that they're good to go. This virus, it lays dormant. it if it doesn't show up on your PAPs, it just means that it's not active. But you have the virus. So I always encourage people to call it what it is, say what it is, be brave enough to say what it is, because that's the only way we're going to get past this. I mean, there was a time when you wouldn't even say breast cancer, colon, and you wouldn't say colon cancer. And now, like, I'm getting postcards in the mail about, you know, get your colon cancer screening. So, it's something that is we all pretty much have. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything bad. And by the way, if you're wondering, oh my God, my partner has HPV, or I have HPV, what is my partner going to think? Guess what? Your partner probably already has it. So, you know what? It's okay. I mean, it's not a death sentence. And like you said, most people, you know, it doesn't turn into anything. That's why I was just so surprised that I got this, because I was healthy. I worked out. Personally, I think it was from stress, but, I don't know. Yeah. I had no idea my immune system was down.
Right. Yeah. And, so prevention, largely focuses on the vaccine. We have this wonderful vaccine that covers 9 types of HPV, the ones that are linked with the vast majority of cervical and anal, some other cancers. So it is a fantastic public health triumph, Lily. And the reason that we really stress the vaccine so much, especially with anal cancers, because we don't have those screening tests. You know, you mentioned the PAP test, which is great for determining, you know, if there's anything going on with the cervix. And of course, HPV tests can see if there's HPV of the cervix, but that doesn't tell you a thing about other parts of the body, such as the anus. You know, you could have anal HPV and your PAP and HPV co-test is, you know, not going to pick up on that, because it's not testing that part of the body. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's good to pay attention. And if something's going on, even if it's of course, it's not the most comfortable thing to do to go have these conversations, but you really need to have them. And fortunately, we do have this vaccine. So let me ask you, I'm just curious, how do you talk to people about getting vaccinated, especially if they're a little skeptical? You know, we run into that a lot with vaccines.
So, you know, unfortunately, the vaccine wasn't available when I was growing up. And I actually did get the vaccine at age 53. And the reason why I got it was I thought, oh, well, there's so many strains of HPV. Maybe it'll protect me against a strain that I don't have. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. There's no data on, you know, when you get if you get the vaccine in your 50s, if it can do that. But I just thought, you know what? I want to get it. And I got it. And I actually have a lot of people calling me who are there in their 40s, 50s, maybe divorced or whatever it is, widowed. And should they get the vaccine? I tell people I got it. And I always say, you know, check with your doctor. Make sure the doctor's educated. You know, I have a doctor who told a patient, well, why would you need the vaccine? You're married. Or why would you need the vaccine? You're not having anal sex, are you? I mean, you just can't imagine the way some of the doctors speak. But anyway, I think that you should always be informed. And I think that you can look into it and make your own, you know, do some research and make your own choices. Oh, and by the way, I know what I wanted to say earlier about the stigma. Sorry, I'm jumping around.
Sure.
My partner, Marcia Cross, the actress, so she also had anal cancer, and again, she had no symptoms. So 2 points I want to make is, you know, even if you don't feel anything, it doesn't mean you don't have it, right? Hopefully you don't. But my suggestion is that when you see a gynecologist, make sure that the gynecologist does a digital rectal exam. And if they don't do it, don't go to them, and don't try to ask your doctor that doesn't do it to do it, because they're probably not going to do it the right way. And then the second thing is, you know, Marcia says it all the time. We were on a podcast a few weeks ago. She's like, I love my anus. It does wonderful things. Thank God I have an anus. Because you know what, everybody, if you get anal cancer twice, you know, in the same area, then they have to remove your anus. And I have a 41-year-old patient that happened to, because she was in the wrong position during radiation. And we mentioned it to her, but I don't know what happened. I don't know if she said something to the doctor. I don't know. She was in a very rural area, and mm-hmm. You know, this is what I'm talking about.
And let's talk about the vaccine, just like in terms of the recommendations. So we have this great vaccine. It's approved and strongly recommended that everybody, regardless of gender through age 26, get the vaccine, period. There's just really that because it works so well. And the reason they want to get into people so young is ideally that you'll have protection in place before somebody becomes sexually active, for one thing. And also, I think the younger you get it, the more robust immune response. But it's also FDA approved through age 45. As part of a shared decision-making process. And like you said, if somebody is older and they're not really sure about it, but they're curious, ask your healthcare provider to see what they say, just like Lillian did.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So tell us something about your organization. You are one of the bosses of the HPV Cancer Alliance. Tell us about it. What are you doing there?
So, thank you. So when I, you know, when this all happened to me, I said I was in a state of shock. That it happened to me, but then I was in more shock that the average person has no clue about it and that they're walking around with it. So I decided, oh, I got to do something about this. It was almost like finding an amazing dress on sale and I had to tell everybody. So I created the HPV Cancers Alliance with two co-founders, the actress Marsha Cross and then businessman friend Dan Lifton. And we created this organization to create education and awareness about this virus. And we are 3 years old, but we're mighty. And we have done a lot of amazing events and webinars. But most notably, we went to Capitol Hill in April to garner support for the Prevent HPV Cancers Act, which we garnered bipartisan support in the House.
So Lillian Krepel, a survivor and thriver, has been our guest today. Lillian, thank you for your time. And how can people get in touch with you or find out more about the HPV Cancers Alliance?
Sure. They can go to you can go to hpvca.org and you could submit, anything through there. Or you can reach me at Lillian, Lillian, at hpvca.org.
That's perfect. And we will put all that in the show notes so folks, you can just click and you can connect with Lillian. Lillian, thank you again. You're wonderful. And I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you for having me. I hope this helps 200,000 more people.
There you go. And thank you, intrepid listener, for tuning into our conversation. Keep checking back with us often because we're always rolling out new resources. And you can send feedback, including ideas for future podcast episodes, to info@ashasexualhealth.org. Until next time, take care, everybody.